Everybody, welcome to the TMS Medicare Hour. This is your host, Raul.
And I am Oscar Ibieta.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for being here today. We're coming up toward the end of the OEP, and that ends on March 31st, 10 days from today. And we were kind of having a conversation about how, that doesn't mean the selling period is over, right? Like, I mean, all of the open enrollments are closed, AEP, which is our favorite one, right? We're for the 1-1s. And then OEP is also another good one. But that doesn't mean that our sales have to go away. And so what I'm wanting to do right now is I'm going to run through the election period coding, sort of a cheat sheet that United Healthcare has on the on lien. I'm sure we've all seen that, right? On lien, you when you log in, you can click on election period cheat sheet
from within the Jarvis portal.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's on lien.
Is it in lien also?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like it's actually one of the five job aids on the bottom. Gotcha. That they have. At least that's what I remember when I wrote 9 pieces of business
this last AEP. Hey, tell me a little bit about, you've been doing Medicare much, much longer than I have. Tell me what OEP was like, because OEP is fairly new to me.
Right.
I think this is the third or maybe fourth time that we've had OEP. So it was pretty much non-existent to me. So when it came back, it was a brand new thing for me. But what were election periods like? What was AEP like and OEP like for you back? Taking it back.
All right. Yeah. So back when I first started, I started my very first AEP was October of 2007, or I guess November 2007. So that's quite a while. I was only 20, I had just turned 28. That's a long time ago. And yeah, things were different. So I actually started working at Humana at the end of AEP, and then January 1st through March 31st started up a brand new election period. And basically it was different back then even than it is today. So today what they tell us is that we're not allowed to market it. Right. Like I can't send any mailers right now that say, hey, it's OEP, get on a plan, anything like that. Really, the rule is that people are supposed to come up to you and say, hey, I'm no longer happy with my insurance. And then you tell them, then you'll say, well, did you know that you could change your plan right now? That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way that new rule was written. But today it is, so back then it was, it was way different. It was, people were allowed to, we were allowed to market it as if we were still in AEP. So it was kind of silly because back then the AEP ended on December 31st. It didn't end on December 7th. So basically we would run through December 31st, take a day off for January 1st, and then it's like, get back out there.
Wow.
And February 1st effectives would be awful, always really, really low. And then, well, for me, yeah. Like I'm sure Beth though didn't struggle, but for me, it was bad. And then, March 1st where, you'd see the sales picking up, and then on April 1st is when we would get the most sales. And then back then we would pretty much stop doing a whole lot. And, I'm embarrassed to say wouldn't work that hard during that time. And, that's what we want to avoid. And that's why we're doing this today is because right. We want to avoid that because there's so much opportunity still. If you're working retail, HEB is not going away. That's still an opportunity. If you're working retail or if you get a call from someone who says, hey, I am on United Healthcare and I'm no longer happy with it. What can I do? And I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't say, call me in October and I'll take care of you. And I always think, man, if you have like nowadays, if you have this huge AEP list, like this long list of people to call an AEP, let's just make sure that you have looked through this, this election period coding and this cheat sheet. I just want to make sure that everybody has. And that's what we're doing this today is we want to make sure that no opportunities are lost for you to make sales today and for you to start making money today. As we talked about, here in San Antonio, we're the number one agency for January 1st effective, February 1st effective, March 1st effective. guys, I want to run the table. Yeah, it was a hat trick, but I want to run the table. I want April, May, June, July, August, September. So it'd be really cool if we could do that. But that's just having fun. You know, if we don't, that's no problem. But I just want to make sure that we put people in a position to win. And that's why we're having this conversation. So, Oscar, one of the first things that might come to your mind when we go through this is I call you up and I say, hello, I am on the United Healthcare plan, and I just found out that my specialist no longer will accept United Healthcare. What can I do? Do I have to wait until January?
So the first thing you're wanting to do is you want to check to see if there's an opportunity to help them make a change today. We don't want to have to wait until AEP comes around. So you want to start asking some questions to see if there's any type of election period available. So today, you know, as we're still in OEP, in the open enrollment period. So what exactly does that mean? And you want to see what that means is people have an opportunity from January 1st through March 31st to make a one-time plan change using the OEP code. Anybody who has a Medicare Advantage plan they're allowed to make a change from one Advantage plan to another, or even back to original Medicare. So you can use, that's one option that's available to you, but you want to ask questions to make sure or to see if there's anything else also available, right? Or do they have a chronic condition to where we can use the SNP, the SNP, and we're going to dive into this, you know, one by one. But going back to Raul's question to me, you're asking these questions back to your prospect to see if there's something that you can do here today, if there's an opportunity here today. So that's what we're going to kind of break down as we go through this here.
Let's pretend we're already at April 1st. Okay. So we're giving people the position of, okay, we're already here on April 1st. When I was actively selling, one of the questions that I did not ask when I would have that person call me up or come up and talk to me would be, do you have LIS? I wouldn't ask that. But instead what I would ask is, hey, how much do you pay for your prescriptions right now? Because a lot of seniors don't know what LIS is. They don't know they hear the word extra help. They know that a little bit more, but a lot of times they don't know what that is. So then you ask them, how much do you pay for your prescriptions? And Oscar, I don't do this enough anymore. What are the co-pays for, what are the co-pays now for if a person has LIS?
It's like zero to, and I may be wrong here too. I don't remember the exact amounts. I just know that it's under anything under $10, but any generics, it's zero to $3.40, somewhere in that range.
That was a tell for me when they would say, when you ask them, well, how much do you pay for your prescription? They're like $7.27.
Yep.
And if they say $7.27, let me ask you guys a question, and I'm asking rhetorically. Have you ever seen a plan that had change on it when you're going through the summary of benefits and you're saying, hey, these are the copays you're going to pay $7.27? Absolutely not. You haven't. And that was my tell. That's how I knew whether or not they had LIS and we could make a change right now. So that would be the first thing that I would ask is, how much do you pay for your prescriptions? And then they would say how much. And if it wasn't $7.27 or whatever it is, again, it's going to have change on it.
Yeah. Then, well, let me stop you there. Yeah. Let's say their response is, well, I pay $20.
You pay $20 for your, then we're just going to have to go a little bit further. And, tell me where you're going with that.
Are you paying $20 total or are you paying $20 for each prescription drug?
Yeah, that's
so
a good question.
So let's not stop there when we're asking these questions is, well, how many prescriptions are you taking? Well, I take 6 different medications and it adds up to $20 when you check out. Yeah, it adds up to about $20. So don't stop there. And we've seen this happen before, which is why we're taking the time to talk about it now. Okay, how much are you paying for each medication when you go down to the pharmacy and pick it up? So don't stop there. Make sure to go further and ask that question.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Cause I know that, those are little people do that. They'll add up their costs and then do it. But as we're going through, it is helpful to have that and ask those questions in that way, just to get a little insight into what they're actually paying. The next thing that I'll ask is,
before we do that, I want to stay on the LIS. And really you ask, well, how much do you pay for your prescription drugs? And if you don't know, if you're not sure, you always want to double check it anyway. It's pretty safe to assume if they give you a random number like that, $3.60, you still want to make sure that they do in fact have LIS. Or you can use this LIS election period once per quarter in the first three quarters. One time per quarter in the first three quarters. So if they do have LIS, you want to make sure that they still have that election period available. Have they not used it already? How do we know that? How do we check that? One of the great things that we, again, we're going through this worksheet and we're looking, and who was it provided by? What carrier? It was provided by United Healthcare. And of course, how do we check to see if this person has LIS? One, do they have LIS? Two, do they have the LIS election period available? You can do that in Jarvis. So when you log into United Healthcare's broker portal, which is Jarvis, there's a, you go to the tool section and there's a section that says Medicare and Medicaid eligibility lookup. You can look up the members. You just need their name, first name, last name, their Medicare number, and their date of birth. And by inputting that information, it'll let you know whether or not the person has LIS. And then right underneath that, it'll let you know if they have the election period available. So those are things that you want to check as you're, when you're, again, we're in April, OEP is over, AEP is over. We're looking to see if there's any kind of opportunity to make a sale today and not have to wait until AEP. One of the first questions that we're asking, how much do you pay for your prescription drugs? And if they give you that tell sign, $3.60, you want to go into Jarvis, go into the tool section, Medicare, Medicaid eligibility lookup, and see if they have LIS and see if they have an election period, if they're able to use the LIS election period today, if there's an opportunity to make a sale today.
Yeah, you know what? I just had an idea also, or thought. When I used to do this, a lot of times I'm not trying to do this on the phone. And I think sometimes agents will do this. You get a call, they'll start asking some questions so that way they can pre-qualify them before driving out to the appointment. But I think it's a bad idea. You need to go sit in person because also you're creating a relationship. Even if this turns into a sale for October, now you're their guy. You know that you're the guy that's going to call them October 1st, and doing this over the phone doesn't help. But my thought is, one of the first questions I'm asking is about, you know, how much do you pay for your prescriptions? Now, sometimes I did base it off of the house, but really you shouldn't. But there's sometimes you get a clue when you're there and you start saying, hey, look, here's what I do. I'm going to ask some more questions. And the reason that I'm going to ask these questions is because I want to make sure that there's not some other way that I can help you. And so one of the questions I ask after seeing how much you pay for prescriptions is I just want to tell you that there are some people who qualify for extra help to pay for their prescription drugs. Did you know that? Yes. Yeah, maybe, you know, well, one thing that I want to do is let you know that sometimes people don't even apply because they don't know that they would get it. But if you make less than such and such, what's the amount?
It's $15.99
for LIS.
Yeah.
So if you make less than $15.99, we might be able to apply and help you get approved for the low income subsidy.
$17.19. That's the new limit. $1,719.
$17.19. That's very high for one person.
For one person.
My goodness.
For two people, it's $2,309. $2,309.
I'm going to be honest with everybody. That's a lot of people in San Antonio.
Yeah.
If you eliminate kind of like the Stone Oak and kind of up through La Quintera area, if you eliminate that, I would say the majority of people in San Antonio who are seniors are probably right around that mark.
Or here's the other response. I already applied and I got denied. When did you apply? It was a few years back. I want you to know that the limits change every year and you may qualify now.
Yeah.
Now that the limits have changed.
And that's huge. That's a big difference because, you know, they're like, obviously the limits are changing higher than the amount of income is changing. So that's a pretty significant jump, even in a year, $15.99 to over $1,700.
Right.
and throw this out real quick. There is an SEP when I'm looking at this cheat sheet, and it says, I have had a change in my Medicare, Medicaid, or LIS status. You either gain, lost, or change level. And so if they have this, election period, if they have a change in status, an actual change in status, which is either they gained LIS, they lost it, or they had a change in level, maybe from level one to level four, then we use this. We don't use it just because you're applying. And so just want to let everybody know that formally the position of this company is we don't do that. It's just not a reason. Will they go through? Probably. So I help them apply, but I wouldn't use the change or lost the change in the LIS status unless there's actually a change. I got a call from a carrier once and they're like, why aren't you using this? And I was like, well, let me double check. So I double checked with both Humana and United Healthcare and they're like, absolutely do not do that. That's not okay. And so that's just not something we'll do. But again, help people apply for LIS. Hey, I want to tell everybody, if you're listening to this podcast right now and you hear some papers rustling, our goal is to never do that. But because of the fact that I'm looking through this AEP cheat sheet, I'm going to be moving through pages. And so you might hear some of that today. Because it's, you know, we want to go through them. Now, there's a lot. And so I recommend that everybody pulls this up and looks through it. Familiarize yourself with it. It's very important. So let's go ahead and move on. Obviously, another one, Oscar, that's quarterly is the dual mm-hmm. dual plan, right? You're allowed to change that every single quarter and get that plan moved.
And I believe those two go hand in hand. The dual LIS, they go hand in hand. Whether you have any level of help, meaning whether it's extra help, LIS, the low income subsidy assistance, QI1, SLMB, or QMB, all those level. When we're talking in terms of election periods, those come together as one. So you can use that once per quarter. I think what we're looking at here on the sheet is you can use it. So there's a maintaining option and then there's a change in status. And people stumble on this when they're in an appointment. Hey, do I use the maintaining or do I use the change in status one? So maintaining means you have Medicaid or you have LIS. There was no change in your status. You met this individual and they already have Medicare and Medicaid. You can use that's when you use the maintaining, meaning it's ongoing. They currently have it. There's been no change. And then the other option where you're going to see dual LIS change in status, that's what Raul was just talking about now, is they maybe lost QMB, they lost their Medicaid status, but still qualify at the QI1 level. Or maybe they just newly became eligible for LIS. You help them go through the application to get the discounts on their prescription drugs. They get approved for it. That's where we use the change in status SEP. But again, LIS, QI1, SLMB, or QMB all go hand in hand in terms of election periods once per quarter, like you said, Raul.
Yeah. Do you help people apply for Medicaid yourself?
I do.
You do it. Oscar does that.
If I'm exposing myself fully, I do help them apply for LIS. I'd love to talk about that now that you asked that question. So as we know, the Medicaid application for the Medicare Savings Program, it's a longer application. There's more legwork that goes to it. You've got to send it off to the state and it takes a little bit longer for it to get approved. If you're trying to help somebody today, I highly recommend that you as an agent help that person. If you have a good feeling that they're going to qualify for the Medicare Savings Program, some level of either QI1, SLMB, or QMB, if you have a good feeling they're going to qualify for that, it's pretty safe to say that they're also going to qualify for LIS, for assistance with their prescription drugs. And so just so all of you agents know out there who are listening, you can help somebody apply for LIS online It takes less than 10 minutes to do that. You can help the individual apply for the LIS. And the best thing about that is the turnaround time to get approved for that is about 2 weeks where they actually get something back in the mail. But going back to logging into Jarvis to see if they qualify for LIS, you can go in and frequently check that to see if they've been approved for any kind of LIS. It'll reflect there when you check up their eligibility status, whether or not they qualify for LIS. And what that does is you don't have to wait until their Medicaid application gets approved. You can help them apply for LIS, and you can, once that gets approved, you can use that election period to help them enroll into a plan today. You asked me, do I help people apply for Medicaid? So I do rely on the economic security assistance that's offered through WellMed. So I love referring to them because they basically do the entire application for us. They do all of the legwork that goes into it in helping your clients apply for Medicaid. Now, I will put this side note on to all of our agents. It's still your responsibility to follow up on the status of that application. Do not play the wait game. Yes, it's their job at the ESA department to follow up with us and let us know, hey, Oscar, I've got great news. Your client just got approved for QMB and it's going to be beginning on this date. We love to get that phone call. But do not sit back and wait on that phone call. It's your responsibility to call in and just get a pulse check and see where we are with that application. Because the last thing you want is for that person to get approved for Medicaid and they went shopping at HEB and say, oh, I just got this card as well, in addition to my Medicare card. And then boom, you just lost what was going to be your sale because you didn't track that. You didn't follow up on it. So we've had some instances where some have slipped through the cracks, so which is why I'm taking the time to let everybody know. It's your responsibility as the agent to check in on that.
But they do a good job of sending those referrals back to you.
They do, but again, I'm personally not relying on them. I'm getting ahead of that.
Because like everybody else in this business, everybody's overloaded with stuff, right? Yeah. So it's your responsibility to take care of your clients and just make sure that it went through. I'm sure that they'll get a letter and then they'll end up giving you a call, but be proactive is your recommendation. So who can they help? People who are affiliated with WellMed. So that means pretty much a lot of carriers right now also. So even Humana, if they're using, you know, South Alamo Medical Group, or if they're using one of the other Humana,
UT Health,
that's done through United,
right?
I'm sorry, through WellMed.
That's correct,
right?
Yeah,
and UT Health is one that's done through
UT Health. To touch on that, how do we access this list? The WellMed Broker Portal,
right?
Log into the WellMed Broker Portal. If you haven't done it before, you can just create a username and password, and within that portal, you can pull a list of every WellMed and WellMed affiliated group or doctor's office. And so if they're on that list, then you can refer it into the ESA programs. Now there might be some limitations to that, but generally speaking, that list is going to be the one that lets you know if you can refer it into WellMed's Economic Security Assistance Department, their ESA, or as Raul likes to say, ESA.
ESA. Hey, let me throw another one out real quick. Is the 5-star? I think that's a big one, and I don't want to go any further without, you know, talking about that one. If you have a client that wants to enroll in United Healthcare, stop what you're doing. Doesn't matter. You don't have to go through the election period coding. If they want to enroll in United Healthcare this year, just enroll them using the 5-star SEP. Is that one of the options on yep. SEPs?
Yeah, when you're doing the application, it's right there.
Other option, it's just
5-star.
Or 5-star. It's the only plan in San Antonio, in the San Antonio area. It's also in the Dallas area.
Corpus. Hey, Raul, so any United Healthcare plan?
Right, the 5-star one.
The 5-star one. Right. So what that means is it's got to be a plan that begins with the code H4590.
Right.
the United Healthcare PPO is not a five-star plan. And we've gotten this question before. Well, can I use five-star for the PPO plan? You cannot. It's got to be the code beginning in the letter H followed by 4590. That is your five-star plan. That's the same code that you see up in Dallas and also in the Corpus area. So H4590, like Raul said, stop what you're doing. If somebody wants to enroll in United Healthcare, five-star.
You can. And there's a couple of carriers that are inching up. I don't know if you saw, is it like Devoted with a 4.5?
Yeah.
And they're going to, and the way that they do things, it wouldn't surprise me if next year we're having this conversation devoted to five-star plan.
Yeah.
They're just, they're doing things in a good way. What's Humana right now?
I think they're four. Did they go down to four?
I thought so. Either way, everybody is like, just so you know, everybody's goal is five. And so more and more carriers they're putting their resources toward it. And so I think that that's a real big thing. And, just something for everyone to know that I doubt that this is going to be the last year that we're dealing with a five-star plan, even if it's not United. It wouldn't surprise me if we've got other carriers that are doing it. I think it's easier for a small plan like Devoted to get to five stars. It's a lot easier to please 2,000 clients than it is 75,000. Yeah. I don't know how many they have right now, but it's a lot. United Healthcare continues to grow. That, you know, there's some growing pains along with that. That's why we've seen some of the challenges. Anyway, that's not the point of the conversation here today. So let's continue to move on. So what I want to do now is I'm just going to start going through the election period worksheet, and I'm going to read them. And we're going to stop at the ones that we think that actually are applicable, things that we want to see. Let's go back. So just on the very beginning, I'm new to Medicare. Obviously, that's not even a special election. That's just, you know, when someone is IEP or ICEP. And so we know that one already. I think everybody here, everyone who's listening to this knows that one. I was eligible for Medicare previously, but have recently turned 65. IEP 2. Did you know about that one?
I did.
Yep. So not a lot of agents do. There's all kinds of things that can happen once you turn 65 and you've had Medicare before. You can change your Medicare Advantage plan.
Supplement.
Yep. You can go into a supplement, and here's the cool thing. No questions asked. And so if you're a person, like, think about this, like, there's people who are, who had end-stage renal disease, kidney failure, and now when they're turning 65 or they're dealing with cancer now, and they're doing all kinds of, chemotherapy or whatever the situation is, they're doing those things. And then they have the, ability now to enroll in a Medicare supplement and on Plan G and just have that Part B deductible. So that's really good. So that's an important one for us to talk about today.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I've that was the perfect example, Ro. I love to use examples when trying to explain these election periods, and that's it. You nailed it. You know, you've got somebody who has had Medicare. Maybe they're 62 years old. You help them enroll into whatever Advantage plan, and as they approach the age of 65 and they've got a lot of health issues, in a situation like that, it might make sense to consider a Medicare supplement if it fits their budget. And at that point, when they turn 65, you can now use, you can enroll them into a Medicare supplement, no questions asked. But that's a situation where you would use IEP-2. They've had Medicare before, but now they're turning 65. So IEP-2.
Great. I was eligible for Medicare. However, I delayed my enrollment in Part B due to having other creditable coverage. And the election period is enrolling into Part B after delaying enrollment. And you use ICEP because it's delayed Part B enrollment, or OEP new. And it's not applicable for prescription drug plans.
So let's talk about an example there. John Doe turned 65 and has been working with his company in has decided to keep his insurance with his company there when he turns 65. Mm-hmm. 3 years later, he's ready to retire. Or let's just say he's ready to retire. Maybe his insurance premiums just went through the roof where it no longer made sense to stay on his company's insurance plan. And now he's decided, you know what, I think what makes more sense for me now is enrolling into Medicare. So that's when you would use the one that you just said. That's an example of ICEP. I was eligible for Medicare. However, I delayed my enrollment into Part B due to having other credible coverage. John Doe had coverage through his employer, but has decided to leave it now and enroll into Part B. That's when we would use this election period of ICEP, delayed Part B.
Right. The next one is I would like to enroll during the annual enrollment period. And obviously that one is one we use very frequently and everyone here is already familiar. Next one is I'm enrolled in an MA only MAPD or special needs plan January 1st and changing to an MA only MAPD or SNP plan. So that's the Medicare Advantage open enrollment election. And that runs from January 1st through March 31st. So it's all the things that we are already familiar with. Basically, if you're in an MA only plan, you can switch to another MA only plan or to an MAPD or special needs plan during that time. But you can't go from original Medicare in Part D to a Medicare Advantage plan unless they have another qualifying reason like a chronic special needs, which we'll get into later, or five-star or dual. Star. Yep. Yeah,
dual LIS. Yeah. So don't give up.
Yeah.
Right? You run into it's OEP and you run into somebody and you're thinking, "Okay, I've got OEP." And then you come to find out they only have original Medicare.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Don't say, "Okay, we've got to wait until AEP until October rolls around to see if that way we can get you enrolled into a plan." The next thing, do you have a chronic condition? No, I don't take any medications. I'm super healthy. That's why I just have original Medicare. I never signed up for anything else. Don't stop. Don't give up. You have the five-star. If it's not going to be a five-star plan, then let's do a financial evaluation and see if they qualify for any kind of assistance, LIS or more help. And if they qualify for those, for any of those assistances, then that opens up an election period for you to enroll them into a plan. So don't give up.
Yeah. And we're recording this here in San Antonio, very low income market, 70 or 65%, I think, of people have LIS. And I always say, if we eliminate Stone Oak, we eliminate kind of that I-10, 1604, and just really those northern and in northwest parts of the city, it's probably closer to 80% of people. 8 out of every 10 people that you meet will probably qualify for low income subsidy. If you live down in the Rio Grande Valley, it's like 85% have LIS.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason you can't sell all year long out there. Once a quarter, I guess you'd be able to move people. There's pockets of the Dallas Metroplex that have very, very high amounts of low income subsidy. And those are areas I would work. So you think about it, that's why a lot of times if you go to the lower income sides of town that you see so many agencies that do Medicare. They're like, man, like there's all this opportunity. And so just keep that in mind when you're going through. Don't just give up. Know that there probably is a chance that they're LIS. And even out of every 10 people that you talk to.
Even the more rural areas, those small towns,
right?
Rural agents who are looking to grow, how can I expand my Medicare business? How can I stay busy? A lot of these small towns, when you go outside of the big cities, there's opportunity there. And a lot of times people just don't know that they qualify for this help. So if you're looking to grow, I would consider working some of those small towns because there's opportunity. The opportunities are there.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, you know how somebody will enroll into a Medicare Advantage plan? Let's say that they do it effective. They turn 65 on April 1st or on March 1st. They just turned 65 and you enrolled them into a plan. 2 days later, now they're in the middle of March. They're like, man, to be real honest, I really wanted to go over to this Humana plan instead of this United plan. They can still change. And that's the next one here. It's OEP new. That's what allows them to make that change.
So that's somebody who's newly eligible to Medicare.
Yep.
And they want to make a plan change using OEP new. So that's different from what we know, OEP of January 1st through March 31st. This is for that individual who's newly eligible for Medicare. They have
3 months to try their plan.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that's just good information for everyone to have. Again, someone comes up to you and they just enrolled in this plan, but now they're like, oh, I want this one. I want all this extra dental or whatever the case is.
Right.
Next, I am disenrolling from an MA only, MAPD, or SNP plan during OEP. Just during OEP, you're allowed to disenroll from plans. So we already talked about the next one. I have both Medicare and Medicaid, and that's maintaining dual or LIS status. The next one is that we talked about earlier. I have had a change in the Medicare or LIS status, dual LIS, change in status. Next one, I am moving into, live in, or recently moved out of a long-term care facility. An example is a nursing home or a long-term care facility. This is different than a skilled nursing facility. This is when somebody's been in a nursing home and they're coming out, then they get a special election period, either when they're going in or coming out.
Yep. Yeah. I'll give an example of that real quick. I've gotten a referral before where somebody moves into a nursing home and they go in with a Humana Gold Plus plan. And there are, as we know, you know, with an HMO for, I hate using this word, but so for context, there are restrictions. They're more restricted with an HMO plan than there are with a PPO. And if they're needing more access to care now that they're in a nursing home, it, maybe they should consider a PPO. So if they've moved into this nursing home, you can use this election period. This opens up a special election period, an SEP, for you to get them into a different type of Medicare Advantage plan.
Mm-hmm. Next one is, I recently moved out of the service area for my current plan, or I recently moved and this plan is a new option for me. That's a big one. Here's something that could happen. You know how kind of the Tri-County area, if you live in
Guadalupe
County and you move within New Braunfels to Comal County, now you have other options available. So your plan's still available in both Guadalupe and Comal County, but now you could switch over just for moving, you know, a couple blocks over on that county line, you could switch over to a plan that now is available in Comal County using that.
Yep. Make sure you do this after the fact. We've had some situations where someone gets a phone call and says, hey, I'm moving out to Amarillo, Texas. Well, when are you moving? I'm moving in April. I'll be moving next month. If we're in March and they're moving next month in April, do not make that change until after they've moved, because we've seen where people have plans to move and then they end up not moving. And so if you enroll them into a plan in a different market, and you shouldn't, but if you enroll them into a plan in a different market before they actually make the move, they could run into some trouble if they end up sticking around an extra month or two. So make sure that you're using this election period, you're making that change after they've moved, not before.
Yeah. I recently involuntarily lost my creditable prescription drug coverage. So that'd be involuntary loss of creditable coverage, which could be they left their job.
Maybe they got laid off,
yeah,
right?
Or they left their job. So this is a tricky one that can kind of be confusing for people, right? Because if I quit my job, I choose to quit my job. That's not involuntary, right? But I didn't choose to lose my insurance when I quit my job. So that's still considered involuntary when they leave their job. And this can also happen where, let's just say that a senior is on, this happened a lot. Now, again, I'm dating myself back in, you know, with all of the financial crisis in 2008, we saw, you were in college, 2008.
I was.
We saw that there were, I think it was GM, which is Chevy, Chevrolet, that they actually had to get rid of their retiree coverage as part of a way to figure out a way to get out of that mess that they were in. And so they got rid of that coverage. And so that would be another involuntary loss of credible coverage, right? Like if they have retiree coverage and then they lose it. So just keep that one in mind. I'm leaving employer or union coverage. So again, you know, going back to the voluntary. So if I have employer coverage and I'm leaving it, then that's a special enrollment period that you have. That's 60 days to find a new plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gaining employer union coverage. Obviously, like if you go and get a job, You can leave your Medicare Advantage plan, go back to original Medicare, and you don't have to do it during AEP or OEP. The next one is my plan is no longer offered for my area. We've seen that. It's non-renewing. My plan is not renewing the cost plan for my area. Same thing. We'll just skip that next one. My plan is ending its contract with Medicare, or Medicare is ending its contract with my plan. That's termination of plan contract. That happens every great once in a while. I think, I can't remember who it was. We saw one recently.
Aetna?
Did they do that? Yeah. Yeah, it was Aetna.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically term everyone who's on a plan. And so it was them. I think I want to say someone else did it before that. But yep. My Medicare eligibility was approved with a retroactive start date. So think about that. You know how you'll meet with somebody and they say, okay, I quit my job, and they do it right now. Today's March the 21st. And they go in and they left their job on March 21st. They want their insurance to start April 1st. So they go in, they do their paperwork, and then they request an April 1st start date. We're pushing into May, and they finally get the approval and they get their new Medicare card and everything. They open it up. Lo and behold, it has an April 1st effective date on it. So that would be when you use this, because if somebody has different Part A and B effective dates, they don't have that IEP. So that's when they would use this special enrollment period. So,
right. So if they delayed their enrollment into Part B, you must enroll them into a plan prior to their Part B coverage date.
Right.
And so in this scenario that Raul just gave, their card comes in a little bit later. You can use this election period. Now, at this point it's May, and it was April 1st. Their card shows an April 1st effective date. You cannot enroll them into this Medicare Advantage plan with an April 1st effective date. It's going to be the first of the following month. What opens up that door, that election period, is using that retroactive. So you can't date back their Advantage plan coverage, but it opens up the door to get them onto an Advantage plan for the first of the following month.
Yep. Let's run through a couple more of these. So the next one is, it does not even apply here in Texas, about pharmacy assistant program from the state. So we're just going to skip over. The next one is, I have a chronic condition and I'm not enrolled in a chronic special needs plan for that condition. Now, one thing I want to share with everybody is that is a one-time election in a lifetime. So if somebody has already used a chronic special needs SEP before, they can't use it again. Now, will it go through? The answer used to be yes, always. The answer is now, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, every once in a while, you'll submit a chronic special needs plan and then you'll get it rejected, finding out that the reason that it got rejected was because it was because of the fact that they've already used that election once, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago or whenever the case was. The next one is, I was enrolled in a chronic plan, but I no longer qualify to be on that plan or couldn't verify chronic condition. And now that's one that sometimes we'll see, because with United Healthcare, what they'll do is they enroll the person into the plan and they're on it for 2 months before they're disenrolled from the plan. So if that's the case and you start getting these emails saying we can't verify it, well, first of all, try to help them, right? Try to help coordinate that with a doctor or whatever the situation. But if ultimately the answer is that maybe they didn't have it. Maybe they were, I was going to say maybe they're pre-diabetic. And that's a question that actually comes up. And I'm waiting on an answer. I know that I was talking, I think it was Michael, who was saying he's had people that were pre-diabetic. He puts them through and they go through because they're on metformin or whatever the situation is. But I can't guarantee that. And I talked to Jeremiah from United Healthcare about that. And he said that it shouldn't go through, but sometimes it's going through. So again, it's the, you know, there's these things where they sometimes will go through. So, I was enrolled in a chronic. Okay. The next one is, I recently left a PACE program. We don't have to really worry about that much here in Texas. I disenrolled from a cost plan and the optional supplemental Part D benefit. We don't really, again, have to worry too much about that one here in Texas. I've lost Medicare Part B coverage. Oscar, how do you lose Medicare Part B coverage?
You don't make your payments.
Right. Okay. So if they lose it, they would basically get disenrolled from a plan.
So
what happens if you do lose it? When do you get back on? You can't just, oh, I made my payment, now I'm back on. No, we have to wait till the GEP and your insurance will start again on July 1st. Have you ever seen that? Like them work with people on that? I haven't, right?
I don't know. I don't have any experience that where I've seen it work out that way. Usually it just goes July 1.
Right. Next one, I've enrolled in an MAPD plan upon turning 65, and I want to leave that plan and go back to original Medicare within the first year. Then it's a first-time MA member, age in, SEP. So when would you see that? That would be if a person tried out a Medicare Advantage plan and in that first year decides that they want a Medicare supplement. They want to go back to original Medicare and join a supplement or just go on original Medicare. Mm-hmm. So
they just decide that they did not want the Medicare Advantage plan for whatever reason. They've just been told by people, hey, you should not be on a Medicare Advantage plan. They ultimately make the decision. It's our job to explain how things are going to work, but they've ultimately made that decision to go back to original Medicare. They can do so within that first year.
Right. Next one is I dropped my Medigap coverage to enroll in an MAPD plan for the first time, and I'm in my trial period, and I want to go back to original Medicare. So let's talk about that for just a second. So did you know that if you have Medicare and you've been on a Medicare supplement for the last 5 years, you can enroll during AEP into a Medicare Advantage plan, and you enroll into a Medicare Advantage plan, and then within that first year, you say, you know what? Forget this. I want to go back to my Medicare supplement. You can do that anytime within the 12 months. At that point, then you would use this special enrollment period for the Medigap trial period.
And that's a big one when you're out in the field and you're talking to people. We're running into people who have Medicare supplement plans. And what we're finding is it's just getting too expensive.
As
the years go by, yeah. As the years go by, every year we're going to see a rate increase. So today you get to cover the rate of a 65-year-old. Next year you get the rate of a 66, and so on and so forth. So year over year, you're going to see an increase in the premiums. And so people get to a point where they're saying, man, it's just almost getting to a point where it's unaffordable. And I want to know what my other options are. One of a selling point when you're in front of this person is you could say, hey, look, you can try this Medicare Advantage plan and save yourself X amount of dollars every month. Works. It's a copay plan. You'll pay a copay whenever you use your benefits, and you have a year to basically test drive this Medicare Advantage plan. And so, because sometimes people are hesitant. Well, I heard that if I leave my Medicare supplement, I can't go back to it. Not if this is your first time on a Medicare Advantage plan and you've had a supplement since you turned 65 and became and were eligible for Medicare, you have the option to test drive a Medicare Advantage plan for the first year. And if it doesn't work out, if you want to go back to a supplement, like Raul said, you can do so with no questions asked, no underwriting. It's a guaranteed issue to go back to your Medicare supplement plan. But use that as make sure that you are aware of this so that you can have this so that it's a part of your conversation when you're in front of people and you're out in the field.
Yeah. I'm currently eligible for other creditable coverage. You can disenroll in a plan if you are eligible for something like that. I'm enrolled in another carrier's 5-star private fee-for-service or cost plan, and I would like to enroll in a PDB plan. That's not something we have to really worry about here in Texas. Next one we talked about, I would like to enroll in a qualifying, it says United Healthcare 5-star Medicare Advantage plan. You can enroll in any 5-star Medicare Advantage plan during that time. Doesn't have to be United Healthcare. Next one is I was enrolled into a plan by CMS or my state. That was a state assignment. So sometimes people are auto-enrolled into plans. So here's a situation. Like, let's just, you know, the MMP program. Mm-hmm. So if somebody, I don't know what it stands for. Do you know what MMP stands for?
Medicare and Medicaid program.
No, sorry. I'm like, no way. MMP program. Yeah. Creative Texas. So what it is basically
two counties. Is it?
Yeah. Well, no, I think
it's a handful of counties.
It's available in other counties. Okay. Yeah. But mostly in the larger metro areas. But basically what happened is that the state of Texas said, hey, there is good reason for people to be on Medicare Advantage plan. It brings down costs because of the fact that, you know, you've got HMO and you've got a primary care doctor who's coordinating the care. And a lot of times what ends up happening is that puts people out of the hospital, keeps them from going into the hospital. Because if you're getting your care on a day-to-day basis, and if you're established with a good primary care doctor, a lot of times they're keeping people out of the hospital. So what they did is they're putting them in to a Medicare Advantage dual special needs plan that's a special plan, and they're auto-enrolling them in that plan. So if you get auto-enrolled, you can, looks like you can change that plan in a short period. We have to get more information on that one. But the next one is, I could not enroll at the proper time due to a FEMA declared weather related emergency or major disaster. That's actually, there's a FEMA one going down in the valley right now for drought. I don't know if you knew that. That's that's an important one. So next one is, I have requested materials in accessible formats in order to make enrollment decisions, but have not enrolled yet. We're really not going to use that one. I am enrolled in another carrier's plan that was placed into receivership by the state. Again, that's not really something we'll use until we need it. And we'll let you guys know when that situation comes up. The last one is, I'm enrolled in another carrier's plan and CMS has identified it as a low performing plan. I was talking about this the other day, that happened back in, 2010.
And it's happened other times as well. Cause I came in after that time and I remember running into that where people were getting letters for a low performing.
Might've been the first year that you were, because they were like 2 years in a row. So it might've been 2012 and 2013.
Yeah.
It was a good opportunity. So basically what happens is that CMS will actually send out a letter to people who are on a low performing plan. That means that they've done less than 3 stars for 3 years in a row, I believe it is. And then if they do that, it sends out a letter saying, you're on a plan that has continued to perform low, please, or you may want to consider joining another plan. And then they'll list the other plans that are available. It happened with United Healthcare when they had the Care Improvement Plus plan, and it was there. And then the Humana plan, we sold a bunch of it. So this was with the PPO out in certain areas. But yeah, that's one that will be used again in the future, I'm sure. And so that's really all that we had today. I will tell you, I know that this is one of those days where you're like, it's kind of boring. it's not.
And it's raining outside.
Right. Yeah.
Goes
yeah.
Exactly. Along with the weather.
Exactly. And so because of that, oh wait, that's not it. There we go. It's crickets today. It's crickets today. And I get it. It's kind of a, when we have these kinds of conversations on the podcast, it's not as fun as when we're interviewing someone or something like that. But the idea behind this is we're going to give people content on how to be better at their job and how to be better at selling, how to be better. And I think by going through and getting through all of these special enrollment periods or these enrollment period, election periods, it's going to be quite helpful for our agents who are out in the field, who are running retail or even getting these referral calls. Don't walk away from the sale just yet. Let's see, is there anything on here that they would qualify for? So we got to ask the questions. Oscar, I don't have any takeaways today, do you?
No takeaways. It's a lot that we went through. We'll make sure that you get your hands on this worksheet and just keep in mind, we'll help you work through this. So get with your upline. If you're in a situation where you're not sure if there's even an election period available, get with us and we'll help you work through that to see if there is an opportunity. So we don't want you to feel like you're out there alone, but we just wanted to take some time to go through this because it's a necessary conversation that we got to have and go through. But get with us and we'll help you work through it if you're not sure.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.